Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Where Am I Going with Michelle Cromer
and Perla Maldonado.
And we are so thrilled to have a returning guest. Don't you love it when our guests want to come back, Perla?
No, nobody wants, you're just lucky some people want to come see you again.
Well, it's always an honor. And we have a real treat because we have a returning guest, Betsy Otter Thompson, which we're going to pull up in just a moment. But first, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with you, Perla.
Oh, my God. I've been reading this article, Michelle, because, it's called 10 Affirmations to Recover from Disappointment. You know, I've been talking to people who have been disappointed, and I found this article. I wanted to make sure I shared it with everybody because I often forget, that affirmations are so positive, so wonderful.
They are.
It's an article called 10 Affirmations to Recover from, and it is on Raise Your Vibration Today.
Oh, good.
.com. But they've got so many good articles. But I want to read the one that I really liked. And it's,
okay.
I've had disappointments before, and I've always managed to be okay. Now, isn't that true?
Oh, I love that. And, our author, Betsy is going to be talking about us today about how to find comfort in a world where uncomfortable things happen. And so that affirmation goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about.
Oh, maybe she's got,
Yeah, terrific. Well, I have gone to a couple of movies, Spy and Jurassic Park twice. And
nothing better to do?
It's just, it's nice and cool. It's hot out there.
I know.
It's in the Southwest.
It's an escape.
It's where, we're already in triple digits down here. So it's just crazy. And wanted to say happy Flag Day to everybody.
I was wondering why all those flags were out there this
morning.
I'd forgotten.
It is Flag Day.
I need to get a flag.
And we got Father's Day next weekend, so we're going to take the week off. And I already have to go back and get something else for my husband, who's the father of my boys, and he refused his Apple Watch. Who doesn't want an Apple Watch? He has Apple stock.
Apparently, Barry.
It's too fancy for him.
Well, this morning, Michelle, I mowed my own lawn. I was mowing my lawn, and I thought about my dad all morning long because he used to come over and mow my lawn. And you know what he charged me?
A can of sardines. Oh, yeah.
A can of sardines and a pitcher of tea. That's all he wanted.
Oh, what a nice man.
Yeah.
That was so nice. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Well, on that last note, before we bring Betsy on, I just wanted to tell you, I saw an article, speaking of articles, that might interest you in today's paper.
Well, why would it interest me?
Well, because it's a new trend in travel.
Okay.
And the travel... I'm trying to even say it with a straight face. This is a new trend, people.
Okay,
it's travel.
To hear this now.
Where people go to resorts where they can take their clothes off. It's called the natural movement. And I want to tell you, if anyone saw me with my clothes off, they would be moving straight to the exit.
Why would that remind you of me?
I don't know. I do not know.
Although it's so hot, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we wanted to thank all of you. So, so many of you download this radio show, and we're grateful for that. And you are more than welcome to call in anytime at 760-542-4307 to talk to our guest tonight, Betsy. And again, that's 760-542-4307. Many of you ask questions in our chat room, which I'm about to launch, or you can always email me about any subject matter if you're listening live, or if you've downloaded this and you have a question for our author, we can certainly get you to Betsy. And that's at michelle@michellecromer.com. Well, Perla, I know that you know about Betsy, but I want to remind our listeners a little bit about her. She's a writer with a passion for communicating spiritual concepts, which, of course, is close to all of our hearts. In whatever job she has had, from waitressing to being an executive assistant in the entertainment business to author, her lessons have been about understanding that she faces wherever she goes. Each job and each person was an opportunity to know herself better, not an opportunity to blame others for her problems. In addition to Love Human, this is her latest book, she's also the author of What Happens If I. Remember that book? It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
I love that book. Walking Through Illusion, The Mirror of Theory, Love Parent, and You Are What You Think, Make Your Thoughts Delicious. So without further ado, here is our author tonight, Betsy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Oh, well, welcome back. We're so happy to have you back in this wonderful new book that you have. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, as you said, it's about finding comfort in a world where uncomfortable things happen. And it's really focused on embracing the world as it is and the people around us as they are and loving whatever that is, not because it's a perfect world, which we know it's not, but because as we love and acceptance grow.
Well, that is so needed because so many people have this Hollywood fantasy concept of their life, of other people, and unrealistic expectations, don't you think?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, life isn't meant to be perfect. It's meant to be informative.
Well said. Life is not meant to be perfect. It's supposed to be informative. So
yes.
What brought you to the book? What brought you to the subject matter? Why did you write it?
Well, the questions that I had, I mean, I think that's how all my books begin. I have questions and I want answers to them. And once I decided that I was going to honor this gift and share it with others, I just decided that I would just ask whatever questions I was curious about. And sometimes when I was writing, I was so astounded by the answers I got that I had to say to myself, well, you don't have to share this with anybody. You can just write it for yourself. And that sort of freed me up to just let it be whatever it was. And so I've always had that philosophy that I would ask what I wanted to know, and I would let the answers come, and it would be just for me, and I didn't have to worry about anybody else's thoughts about it. And so that's how I write all the time, and it usually turns out that it's what other people want to know too. So,
well, that's terrific. And what kind of response have you gotten from the book? Have you done some book readings? Have you gotten some feedback from your audience?
Yes, people are loving the book because it speaks to their own personal heart. I mean, it's about all of us, and we're all pretty much the same in terms of our questions and what we hope to learn while we're here. And I thought it was interesting when you brought up the idea of being disappointed because I think when you feel disappointed about anything, it's because you think something is wrong. And really, you're only going through what you need to go through, or you wouldn't be going through it. Your soul has you where you need to be, experiencing what you need to experience for your own sake, for your own growth, because it's timely for you. That's all. Don't need to be disappointed. Just grateful, really. Grateful for the chance to grow, the chance to expand.
And well, that's a wonderful way of looking at disappointment, certainly. And the content is really, it's not just timely now, Betsy. This is the condition of humans as we've been since we took our first breath on the planet. And
yes.
We may go through the centuries, but really the human condition doesn't change that much. We get more technology, right? And
yeah, I mean, we have had emotions since we began, and so this journey may look like it's about the picture and what happens in the picture, but it's really about what is happening inside of us emotionally. I mean, we certainly don't, before we get here, and I think we plan our journey to a certain extent in terms of what our challenges will be, but we certainly aren't thinking to ourselves, what can I do to be cruel? What can I do to be mean? What can I do to create war? I mean, nobody comes here thinking that idea. They come here thinking naturally, oh, what can I do to enjoy this place and have fun and meet people I love? That's what we think about. Then we get waylaid because we get distracted by what's happening in the picture or be distracted by what other people are doing instead of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's hard not to, though, Betsy. It's hard not to be distracted because we have this, it's almost like our face is down on the carpet instead of having that 10,000-foot view of the entire room, and we get involved in our lane and in our lives, and it's hard to step out of that context. And
when we get into situations where we're uncomfortable, the first thing we want to do is blame somebody else for being there. It's just human nature. We don't want to take responsibility for creating that situation for ourselves. But there's always something, if you're willing to ask yourself, how did I create this situation, or what did I do to create this situation, then you have the power to change the situation. But if you're always blaming somebody else, you're always at the effect of what's going on instead of creating what you want. It's really about taking a different perspective on what's happening in your life and being willing to trust that your soul is a wise entity, because if you say anything other than that, if you say, I don't belong here, I don't belong with these people, I don't belong in this job, what you're really saying is that your soul is a dummy. And that's really impossible. Your soul isn't a dummy. Your soul has an overall view of not only this life, but any other lives you've ever had. And so it knows exactly where you need to be and what you need to be doing. And so it's about trusting that your soul is wise and would never have you where you didn't need to be for the relevant growth right now.
Mm-hmm. I have a pretty profound question in our chat room, Betsy. And here's the question. My son, who was 15, committed suicide June 21st last year. I don't blame anyone. I blame myself. I am not disappointed. I am devastated. And I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, what I would say to this beautiful woman is, or if it's a woman or a man, is that no one else is to blame for the decisions that a person makes. Nobody. You can't control what other people decide to do. They'll do what they want to do, whether you like it or not. So, first of all, you know, just like nobody can control what you do, nobody can control what your son did. If he committed suicide, then he thought that was the way to solve his problems. It isn't the way to solve problems, because you just all you do when you leave is you drop your body. You don't drop the problem. The problem is with you. But that doesn't mean that he won't come back and solve it again. It's just that he couldn't solve it this time. But, you know, I still believe the soul is wise. But when we get here, if we don't want to cope, then sometimes we decide to leave. And I think that's okay. I don't think that there's any reason. You're going to be reunited with that person. There's no way you're not going to come back and be with that person again after you leave here. And,
right.
And you'll understand better then why he felt he had to leave. But it certainly isn't your fault. It isn't anyone else's fault. We are all responsible for the actions we take individually. No one else is responsible. I had that lesson really hard because the first half of my life I was blaming everyone else for my problems. And I'm sure that I had thoughts of suicide at one time or another. I know I did. But I was responsible for the choices I was making that got me to the situations I was in. I almost became homeless, and I was the one who made the choices that got me almost homeless. But I did not take responsibility for a long time. But when I finally did take responsibility, and I said to myself, I got myself into this mess so I can jolly well get myself out of it. And that was taking charge of my own autonomy, and then my life turned around. But I know what it is to be in that place. And you know what? We are all in the process of healing. People just have different ways of healing.
Exactly. And I am unclear, listeners, if this was a man or a woman, because in the chat room, you know, you can't really reveal the sex. But I just want to say to this listener, first of all, thank you for the question. And as a mother who has lost a child, I am deeply sorry for your loss. And you're approaching that one-year mark. And those of us that have ever lost a child, we know that one-year mark is so difficult, because it really brings everything into focus. And so thank you, and God bless you. And as Betsy has said, you will, from a person that's on the other side, you will get through this. You will never be the same, and that's okay. And you're listening to Where Am I Going, and you can certainly call our guest, Betsy, at 760-542-4307, and I have lots of people in my chat room, so keep the chat up. And Betsy, thank you so much, and let's talk a little bit about what you just said about the first half of your life. You were really blaming other people and not taking responsibility, and now you find yourself an author of these very immensely successful books. And tell our listeners where they can buy your books.
They can buy my book at, they can go to my website, which is BetsyThompson.com, and all the books can be purchased from there. And they're also on Amazon. They can go straight to Amazon and just pull in books by Betsy Otter Thompson, and they all come up.
Exactly. And this content is obviously incredibly important right now. And can you maybe share an idea that's come out in your readings, or something that someone has said to you that has been really helpful? I mean, you know, you just helped this woman who is obviously devastated with this difficult situation that she's facing. What other things are happening in the book that you can share that might help our listeners?
Okay, well, one more thing I just want to say to her is to know that I think that we all volunteer for the roles we play in life, and so she volunteered for this role before she came here, and it takes a very brave soul to volunteer for being in a situation like this, and so she's probably a very old soul and a very wise soul and a very brave soul.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that, you know, one of the ideas that I feel is the most important in Love Human is that we're much more powerful than we think we are in terms of what we create for our lives. We control our attitudes and we control our opinions, and whatever attitudes and opinions we keep, we attract back in other people. So we really create our lives, which our emotional lives anyway, we create our emotional lives by the emotion that we put out there and with the respect we have for other people, that the integrity with which we live our lives, because then that's what we attract back to us. And so, I mean, around that idea, I just want to say that, you know, I have this wonderful gift of being able to communicate with spirit. But when I was very young, I shared the fact of what I was doing with my sister, and she taunted me and teased me and made me feel horrible for weeks on end, so I stopped doing it. And then I grew up and lived my life and got into this blame attitude, and I completely ignored the gift. And it wasn't until I was in California and living in a one-room and roach-infested apartment that I decided my life certainly wasn't going the way I expected it to. And I really was a phone call away from being homeless. And I sat down on my sofa one day and I said, my life isn't working, and I think now I would like to honor the gift that I have and share it, but gee, I need a job to support me while I do it. And it was almost as if the universe said, oh, okay, if you're ready, we're ready, because 3 weeks later I had a job in the entertainment business that I had for the next 18 years, and in 18 years I was able to retire and write full time. So I think it's about, if anything, this book is about being your authentic self and being content with who you are and honoring who you are and loving who you are. And knowing that the choices you make, they're all going to help you in the end. I mean, I certainly made a lot of choices that weren't too wise for a while, but if I hadn't gone through them, then I wouldn't be here where I am today. So everything has meaning in your life, even if you don't think it has meaning while you're living it.
Exactly. And I believe that that's truly the only difference that we have between us and maybe animals is we find meaning. Humans are hopefully find meaning in our pain. That's what makes our species on this planet different. We're not better or worse. We're one of millions, but that's, you know, from my perspective. And everything. I'm sorry, Pearlie, go ahead.
Well, Betsy, I have a question for you because you sat down and you recognized this and you thought about it and you came out ahead. Now, I've talked to people who are devastated, who are disappointed. And they are not listening when you're trying to tell them, you know, you need to work through this. You need to think about what you did to cause this. And what do you do to get their attention, to make them, you know, stop feeling sorry for themselves?
I think what you have to say is that we live in a universe that is in balance. I mean, the universe that you look out into the universe, you realize it couldn't exist unless it was balanced. It lives in, and it just it's a perfect mirror. It shows us exactly what our lives are about, living a mirror and living with our mirrors. And in other words, the energy we put out there is the energy we attract back. Or, for instance, when I was spending all my time blaming everyone else for my problems, then I attracted a lot of people into my life who are only too willing to blame me for all their problems. And so this is the gift. The gift of our mirror, of the people who are coming to us, are telling us about ourselves. It just takes the willingness to ask ourselves, you know, if you have an attitude that nothing's ever right in your life and that you're disappointed about one thing after another, you're bound to find other people who are in the same mode of thinking, they'll have the same attitude, and then not only do you have that negative reflection, but the negative reflection grows because the more attention you give to something, the more energy it gets, the bigger it gets. And so it's about changing a habit. It's about changing the mental habit, the way we think, and asking yourself, you know, the pain that comes to you in your life is really about growth. So ask yourself, you have to sit down. I mean, I tell people to be very disciplined about this, to sit down and to ask themselves how they have grown, what has happened to them emotionally in growing in a way from the pain they have experienced. How have they been forced to go deeper within to understand who they are and what their life is all about? Because that's where the answers are, and that's what we're here to experience. And once you find the growth, you move out of that situation, and you are challenged with a new situation in which you can again do the same thing. I think that's really what we're here to understand. But the more positive you can get about what happens to you, more you can see the growth, you get into a habit of doing that, and then it just becomes a natural. It becomes the norm to you. Instead of the norm for me being to blame everybody, the norm became taking responsibility. I made that decision. I created this situation. So what can I do to change it? Well, you're always thinking that other people are deciding your life. You're always feeling like a victim, and you never feel powerful. So you have to turn that around to saying, I did create the situation, because then that gives you the power to change the situation.
Well, that makes so much sense. Sometimes when people are just dark and they don't want to listen, and that's where my frustration comes in.
Well, you know, the thing is, you can't change other people, Pearlie. You cannot change them no matter what. You can only live the change. You can only show people. People don't necessarily listen to words, because words are basically noises coming out of our mouth. And if you don't believe that, then listen to someone speaking a foreign language. It's just noise coming out of the mouth. What people learn from is as they watch you live your life in a different way. That's how they learn. So, I mean, I don't think you can, if somebody is determined to be negative, then there isn't much you can do about it except to say that I prefer to live in positive thoughts, and these are the positive thoughts I have.
That's true.
Because you cannot change anyone else but yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, and well, why should they change for you? People change to suit their own growth. They don't choose to change to suit our growth.
Amen for that. I have another question. We have some listeners. Thank you so much. You threw some really deep questions. Okay, Betsy, here's another one. I am a single woman in my early 40s. I am spiritual and physically healthy, and others say that I am very attractive. Yet I am alone, and I don't want to be. I am sending out love, and yet I feel I'm not getting any love back from the universe. What can I do?
Okay, so here's the thing. You're sending out the signals that life is not the way it should be. And so you're drawing people back into your life that feel that life isn't the way it should be. How about if you want to be single instead of not wanting to be single? Since
you
are single, why not want what you have?
Oh, I love that. I just love that. I love that. Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little too excited about that. I think that, but, you know, I have a lot of single friends, male and female, and it seems to me, Betsy, that no one's really pleased where they are. And, you know, quite honestly, let's just be honest, I have some married friends that aren't pleased where they are, and I love your message. You know, you be where you are. You know, be happy where you are.
Find what is good about where you are. Find what is good about being single instead of always thinking about what you should have instead of what you do have. That's a very frustrating place to put yourself, always thinking you don't have what you're supposed to have. So love what you have instead of wanting what you don't have.
And, listener, I'll just say from Betsy's book perspective, and we're talking about Love Human, and it's a terrific book, and you can get it on Amazon, and I would highly recommend it. And Betsy Otter Thompson is the author that we're speaking to. And this is really a profound moment, and I want everyone to kind of stop and really let this idea wash over you. But if you are single and you're coming from a point of I'm lacking, then you are going to lack. But I love this idea of, you know, you are where you're supposed to be, and be grateful for that. I have to tell you, and Perla's heard me say this, Perla is single, and she's very happy single woman, and people say, you know, she's so pretty, she's so smart, why is she single? And I say, because she's smart. She's really one of my most intelligent friends. But you know what, Perla, you're an example of being happy where you are. You're happy where you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's true. And I to this woman, thank you so much for being in our chat room and this delightful question. It's thought-provoking. And I know there's listeners out there right now that are listening to my voice that feel this lack. And if there is a concept that you're going to take away from tonight's show, listen to what Betsy is saying. Be grateful where you are. Honor where you are. And this
it's about forming that new habit. It's about, instead of thinking about what you don't have, start thinking about what you do have, and do it every day, and do it 20 times a day if you need to do it. And pretty soon you'll start feeling grateful for what you do have, and you won't have time in your thoughts to even think about what you don't have. And you know, ask yourself, who does somebody want to meet? Do they want to meet somebody who always thinks they don't have what they need, or do they want to meet someone who feels very fulfilled in what they have?
Well, anyway, Betsy, I think that this concept is one of many concepts that you bring forth in your book, Love Human. And listeners, this is just a really profound way of looking at your life. And as she says, this offers guidance about how to find comfort in a world where uncomfortable things happen. And like Betsy said, that is life. That is life. So Betsy, let me ask you, let me turn the tables on you. How have the messages in your own book influenced you?
Well, they took me from the feeling of victimization to feeling powerful. They took me from blame to accountability. They took me from pain to seeing the growth. And as I found the growth, I became appreciative instead of resentful.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think that any time that you can come from a perspective of gratefulness, and as we had in the chat room, you know, earlier, this woman who had unfortunately lost her son, I say in a book that I wrote, I am grateful for Catalina, and I am also grateful for Catalina's death, because I understand it took me 15 years to be able to say that to you and to everyone else. And when you come from that perspective, your life changes in a nanosecond. And it is a rich and powerful way to live.
And you know what? I would say to you, from your situation, and to anyone who loses a child, you know, people come here for different reasons. Sometimes the soul comes here to be a gift to another person, and this is the gift they give, that they leave quickly.
Right.
Because
exactly.
We don't know what we lived before this lifetime, but our soul does. And so our soul knows the timely challenge. And so perhaps your daughter's death was a gift to you, your daughter's way of giving you some kind of a gift of growth.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you look at it that way, it's so beautiful, it almost makes you cry.
Yes.
And I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It is a very difficult gift. Believe me, there is no way to sugarcoat that at all. And I am not going to be disrespectful to anyone that has gone through what I've gone through, because it's hell, and I can't imagine anything worse. But having said that, there is nothing that anyone could ever do to me that is worse than that. And so,
well, that's a gift in itself.
Yeah. And so life then becomes very manageable to me. And when I hear people say, it's like when I got back from Tibet 10 years ago and went to an orphanage and saw children without feet and who didn't have anything. I mean, a crayon made them so happy. And I came back and went to a wedding of a woman, and she was upset because her very expensive shoes hadn't come in for a wedding. And I'm like, really? But you know, that's her perspective. And that's, you know, that's just, you know, that's what that was what was the matter with her at that time. So
yeah.
It's just a matter of perspective.
Yes, it is. It definitely is.
Okay, so you're listening to Where Am I Going, and you can call our guest, 760-542-4307. And you can get Betty Otter Thompson's book, Love Human, on Amazon. And Betsy, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the chapters and a little bit about their content, that you've had some feedback, and, you know, some important chapters that you feel you want to talk about in the short time we have left.
Well, I think that one of the chapters that I am especially fond of is the health chapter.
Okay.
Because it talks about ease versus dis-ease, and to create an ease-filled body is to live in ease-filled thoughts, because I believe the body takes its cue from our thoughts, because everything in matter, I believe, is a reflection. And therefore, the body is the gift that keeps us up to date on what's going on in our mind, and that when we get into thoughts in our mind that life isn't right, nothing is the way it should be, the body goes, oops, something's out of order, and then something goes out of order in our body to let us know where our mind is. And I had a very good personal experience around this myself, because when I came back from California, I came back to all the family dynamics that I had been away from for 20 years, and I started getting back in the mode of resentment again. And I remember the first 3 months I was here, I was into that anger at my family for their reactions to what I did, and the grudges I was still holding. And after those three months, I noticed that I had a lump in my back. Mm. And so I called the doctor immediately, because I have a history of cancer in the family.
Oh,
and
no.
She came in, and she went in that day, and she said, "Well, you do have a lump, so I want you to go in tomorrow for an MRI." So I went home after that, and I looked in Louise Hay's book for lumps, and it was resentment and grudge. And as soon as I read that, I knew immediately why I had that lump. And so I did a meditation that night, very deep meditation, where I looked for those people who I was so resentful for. I looked at it from a different angle and asked myself, what was the gift behind their behavior? And the gift behind their behavior was that it pushed me to move away to a different location in California, and California was the beginning of my healing. And so if they hadn't been the motivation behind my leaving, I wouldn't have found the path I needed to find. And so from that, I was able to be grateful to them and to thank them in my meditation for being who they were, because it had spurred me on to where I needed to be. And I went in the next morning for the MRI, and the lump was gone.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And what it is the body says to me, the body said to me, "Oh, she gets it. She gets it." So there's no reason for the lump to be there. And then the lump was gone.
Exactly. And this is a very ancient way of looking at health. I mean, this is, you know, what the ancient ones knew that we've sort of gotten away from, and I don't know how. And certainly I'm married to a Western orthopedic surgeon, and there's certain times that, of course, I embrace the Western. If I broke an arm, of course, I would go see Barry or one of his partners. But this is a very holistic approach to our health, because as author Carolyn May says, our biology is our biography, and we hold these emotions in certain body parts. That's acupuncture. Pain is in your liver, for example.
Yes.
And so, you know, acknowledging these emotions and then, like you did, releasing them is just so critical. And we, you know, we're a diseased, infested society. We're out of control.
Yes. We're here to heal, and this is one of the means that we have for healing, by looking and seeing how something has been helpful to us instead of how it's been hurtful to us, because we all go through challenges that are hurtful. But the trick is to look for what they motivated you to do, or what they brought to your life that encouraged you or motivated you to do something positive, or to move on your life in a certain way. There's always something to find, because you wouldn't get in that situation unless there was something positive to find. I mean, I once had something called spontaneous paralysis, where I couldn't move my legs, or that would just all of a sudden it would just happen to me. And I realized it was because I didn't want to walk forward in life. And so Yes, I didn't want to walk forward in life. I was divorced and had four young children, and I didn't know how I was ever going to cope and ever going to take care of them. And so I didn't want to move forward. And so the legs just went out from under me.
Wow.
So when I realized what it was all about, the legs came back.
Well, I've heard people, you know, every time I hear someone that has laryngitis, I always think, oh, your voice is not being heard by someone, or, you know, in your life or on some level. So yes,
or the voice doesn't like what's being said.
Exactly. So, you know, if you look at your health in a symbolic way, I do think that we do get some answers. And we have a question in our chat room, and this is from a lovely woman. She says she's from Cleveland, Ohio, and she wanted to say thank you. She's enjoying the show. And she said, "Betsy, could you please elaborate on what you discussed earlier in the show about deciding who is going to be in your life and for what reason?"
Okay, well, I think that you don't always have a choice about who comes into your life, but there's always a reason that they're in your life. And they're in your life as a reflection of you in some way, sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in a way that doesn't feel so good. But when it doesn't feel so good, what you need to ask yourself is, for instance, here's a situation that I went through. I always like to share my own life because it makes it easier for others to identify with it. I was working in a job, and I was working with somebody, a woman who was very, very patronizing to me, and it used to bug the heck out of me. She was so patronizing, and so I came home one night and I said, "What is this all about?" And my instruction was to sit down and ask how she was making me feel. Well, she was making me feel unappreciated. She was making me feel dumb. She was making me feel like I couldn't handle the job I had. And so I had to ask myself, who am I making feel that way? Who am I making feel that way? And I realized immediately, as soon as I asked myself the question, who am I making feel that way, I realized that I was being very patronizing to somebody else about the ideas that I was getting through my messages. And instead of just living the ideas, I was preaching to other people how they should live, which is meaningless anyway. It doesn't teach them anything. But as soon as I realized that I was the one, I was feeling patronized because I was being patronized, then I was in the position where I could do something about it, and I could stop being patronizing, which I immediately did. And the person at the office continued to be exactly the way they were, but it didn't bother me anymore. It's like we have an aura around us, that, and our aura represents all the ideas that we're putting out into the universe. So when similar ideas come back, they penetrate the aura. But if it's not in my aura, it doesn't penetrate my aura.
That is exactly interesting.
Very interesting.
And Perla heard me tell this story, but I have a son who just graduated from the University of Southern California last month, and he graduated summa cum laude in 3 degrees, blah, 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 really wonderful. And I was in his presence when someone was really, you know, he's 6'5", and he's a very big presence, and someone was really being just so hateful to him. And as the mom, and you know, Betsy, you got four of them, as a mom, the first thing you want to do is just slap him in the face. But I stood there waiting for my son to respond, and he said nothing. And this person walked away, and I said, "August, why didn't you defend yourself?" He goes, "Mom, that had nothing to do with me and everything to do with that person."
That's true.
And
that's
I thought,
true, but now if your son had been really bothered by it, then he would have the exercise of asking himself why. But it didn't penetrate his aura because he hadn't been putting out the same vibes.
Exactly. It that person's hateful behavior did not breach his aura.
Exactly.
It wasn't about, you know, and my grandmother used to say that when people talk badly about you, it's not about you. It's not your business. It's about them.
Yeah.
And it's a really difficult concept when you're in the middle of something. But I think it's an important concept for our listeners to really consider and think about. And again, these are the kind of things that you can get from Betsy's wonderful book, Love Human. You can get it on Amazon, and you can get her on her website, and that's BetsyThompson.com. Betsy, you
and
have
I would
a
just like
what
to tell this
Twitter?
Person one more thing.
Sure,
she's deciding about who she wants to be her friends. I would say appreciate the friends you already have.
Right.
Because that's how you attract more friendly people to you, by finding the good things in the people around you. And if you don't think you like them, then why are you being their friend?
Right. Exactly. We have the power to have the people that we want in our lives.
Yes.
And if the people
in our lives are not respectful, then ask yourself how you're not respectful. Are you respecting yourself? Because it's not respectful to yourself if you continually put up with people who are disrespectful.
That's true. It's that mirror that you were talking about.
Yeah.
That mirror approach.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And your Twitter is what?
You know what? I don't have my Twitter thing in front of me. But if you go to my website, which is BetsyThompson.com, you can all my social media is there to click into.
Oh, terrific. Wonderful. Okay, so we talked about health. We have time to talk about one more chapter that you might want to bring forth for our listeners to benefit from.
Okay, well, I love the chapter on prayers because it says, "Do prayers have any power?" And if you pray for ways to love, that's what makes a prayer powerful. But the chapter talks about the fact that sometimes we have some confusion around the nature of answered prayers. For instance, if we pray for others to change their minds or change their behavior or alter their loyalties, I don't think God has any comment to that kind of a prayer. And when we pray for others to be more loving or more considerate or more honest, I don't think God has any reaction to that prayer either. God has no comment because God knows that change begins within. But on the other hand, when we pray for God to help us become more loving, loyal, and considerate, God rushes in with the situations that give us the chance to make that happen.
Right, right. And I think that when I pray for others, I never, you know, I say this, and I've said this in my latest book, God's not a cosmic Coke machine. You don't get to, you know, you don't get to put in the dollar and get what you want.
Exactly.
But I do think that it's always appropriate, no matter what, to pray for courage and strength and clarity. And if you pray for those kinds of things, then you will get your prayers answered.
That's right. If you're praying for ways to be more considerate and loving towards other people, to have clarity about what you need to do, absolutely, all those great questions. But if you're praying for something, for someone else to change or be different, I don't think there's any answer for that. Because why would people need to be different? I mean, people are who they need to be in the moment. That's the answer. People are who they need to be. And I don't think that a powerful light like God would ever think that somebody was not doing what they needed to, would think that one person should change another person's life. So we are where we need to be, and we're doing what we need to do, and we're learning what we need to learn.
Well, and to your point, when you are having that change from within, you're only, and as you've said before in this show, that you're responsible for yourself. You can't change what anybody else is doing, you can only change your reaction to that, then why in the world would you ever pray for something like, I want this person to be anything? That's not, you know, why are we, that's a very egotistical, sophomoric, you're in kindergarten sort of prayer. And that God is not the God that I worship. That's not a real God. That's not a realistic. And yet, it's hard because in American culture, and I have been all over the world, and I really haven't seen this in Tibetan culture or UK or, you know, where my people are from in Ireland. I don't hear this kind of, you know, American version of God, I need a new Lexus. I mean, it's appalling to me when you sit in a church in America and you hear the minister say things, God wants you to do anything. How did they know what God, you know, it's so disturbing to me. God wants you to whatever. Really? You've got that direct connection? God bless you for that.
Right. I agree.
Didn't know he was on the phone.
But even then, those people, that man is the minister of a church where the people are facing their mirrors.
Yes, I guess so.
Okay. And so, I mean, when you change, when you go one step further about this idea of prayer, I mean, praying for others to change is really just another form of criticism. What you're really saying is they aren't okay the way they are, so they should be different. And
I'm going to beg to differ with you on that, Betsy, because I think that I know that there are addicts in my life, and I support one on a Tuesday night. And I know that I pray for clarity, for that person to have clarity, courage, and strength with his addiction. And does an addict need to change? Let me ask you this, Betsy. Does an addict need to change?
Well, he needs to change when it's time for him to change, not when we think it's time for him to change.
No, but I do think that, the bottom line is they're not going to change until it's time for them to change. They're not going
That's
to make
right.
that choice.
No.
So you can argue
maybe,
with them
maybe,
all you want.
Maybe
yeah.
I'd want to pray that when the time comes for him to change, that he has all the help he needs to do it.
Exactly. And
there's a good prayer.
Yeah. And, you know, the courage to continue on that road of sobriety or whatever, you know, that particular addiction may be.
Yeah, the thing is, we don't know why people come here. And for all we know, someone could have chosen to become an addict for some specific reason, for some specific growth. And so to say they shouldn't be an addict is to really make an ignorant statement, because we don't know that.
Right, exactly.
We don't know that.
And that's a different way of looking at addiction, because I know that, I'm not a mother of an addict. I'm sure that would be a very difficult thing to witness if you have.
Well, I have a son who is in addiction, and I know that nothing changed until he almost OD'd, and nothing changed until he decided he was going to change. Nothing. I really know that. But when after he did stop, then I did pray that he would find the help he needed. And but the thing is, people have their own lessons to learn and their own reasons, and they have their own time schedule. And nothing we do or say is going to change that, because their soul is wise for what they need. That's the bottom line.
Well, we have time for, if you could wrap up, just if you could just give us one takeaway from your book that our listeners can take home and for the rest of the week. And again, this book is Love Human, and it's Betsy Otter Thompson. You can get it on Amazon, and that's who we've been visiting with this evening. But Betsy, if you can just, you know, give us one main takeaway from your book, what would that be?
That peace is a state of mind, and after it's found in thought, it manifests in matter.
Wow.
Nice.
Could you say that one more time?
Peace is a state of mind. After it's found in thought, it manifests in matter.
Wow.
Very nice.
Now that is a profound statement.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. Well, Betsy, it's always so wonderful to have you on the show. And what's so wonderful about you coming back, you always come back with such an interesting message that is so timely and is so helpful to all of us.
And I love all her books.
Oh, I know. Aww. Listeners, they're just terrific. And this latest one, well, you've been hearing about this subject, and it's just terrific. Love Human, Amazon.com, or you can go to Betsy's website, BetsyThompson.com. Again, if you have any questions for Betsy, go to her website. You can always reach out to her through me, Michelle@MichelleCromer.com. And Betsy, I know you're going to have, I know there's another book inside of you. I know there's going to be another one.
Yes. you got her.
As long as I'm living, I'll be writing.
I know that we would love to have you come back, and as soon as you've got that one, promises that you will.
I promise I will.
And this time I'll get Michelle to give you the right phone number.
Okay. Thanks so much, Perla. Well, again, listeners, we're grateful to have you, and I know that time is a precious commodity, and you've decided to download this or listen live, and we're so grateful for that. And Perla and I are wishing you a very, very productive week, and we always like to say to you, think deeply, speak gently, love much, laugh a lot, work hard, give freely, and be kind.
And appreciate your dads next week.
That's right. Happy Father's Day to all those fathers, biological, psychological, spiritual. Some have biological children and some don't. But this is Michelle Cromer.
And this is Perla Maldonado.
You've been listening to Where Am I Going, and we're wishing you all the best. Thanks, Betsy. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.